digging in the dirt. I'm digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
My in-studio guest today on Digging in the Dirt is Dan Martens. He's Vice President of Novamont North America. He is also a board member of the Council of Canadian Composters, board member of the Biodegradable Products Institute, advisory board member, and the winner of Innovation of Bioplastics Award of 2019. And something I think he's really most proud of is that he's a Yukon Master Composter. He has the certificate from Yukon for Master Composter. Novamont is a maker of bulk compostable bioplastics, among other things. These materials are turned into all kinds of eco-friendly products, such as compostable produce bags for your veggies. In fact, that's why Dan is here. And this is his second visit to Digging in the Dirt. He was here the first time to tell us about the town of Fairfield's composting classes, which he and his colleague were teaching. I found out at that time that he was with Novamont and what they did. And then a little later, I discovered that compostable bags that Novamont was making the bulk product for were being now used at Trader Joe's. And Dan is an expert in this field with extensive credentials. Good afternoon.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well. And you're bringing all these like positive goodies here. You should see the compostable bags and straws and things that you brought along that are now joining the party here. So
yeah, I think your table, your desk here is covered with all of my little gifts.
it's really great to see that there's some this innovation going on. Why don't you tell everybody what Novamont is.
Okay,
let's
start
there.
Well, Novamont is a leader in the green chemistry field. Primarily, all they do is they make biopolymers that can be used for various things, but most in North America, mostly for making resins that are used for making compostable items. And in North America, it's mostly films. So it's for making compostable bags that are used for collecting food scraps, for composting, for agricultural mulch films that can be put on the field, but also lately, we've had some interesting things with straws, and in Italy, they do packaging, in Europe, they do more things, but here, it's all 100% certified compostable resins.
Okay. We'll get to all that in a minute, but the one thing that attracts me to your company is that I read about this whole idea of 17 sustainable development goals that you adhere to.
Yes.
And could you explain to everybody what that is? And also, then we'll move into the circular economy, which this is all big stuff, but we need to, I think,
We can talk a little bit about it. I mean, it's all related because our CEO, Katia Bastiola, is a global environmental figure and president of Coyote Club and globally known. She really holds us firmly to the integrity of having a bioeconomy being a model of sustainability. So, for example, we have five pillars. One of them is that we build our plants in old, defunct buildings that we restructure them and reuse them to put green technology in, perhaps like an old petrochemical plant that's defunct. We use local natural resources. We try to make as many chemicals as we can from plant-based materials, so they're sustainable, at the same time reducing the carbon footprint by using non-petrochemicals and trying to replace chemicals that are used in the petrochemical world with plant-based chemicals. I personally love the compostability part. I love the part about not making microplastics with our materials. I love lowering the carbon footprint. But this is all new green technology that really didn't exist years ago, and we're hoping to do more.
I'm hoping you do more as well. You know, it'd be nice to replace some of this petrochemicals-based things into the economy.
Well, we have a goal of, I think we signed for the G7 at the G7 environmental meeting. We said we wanted to have a 100% plant-based material, I think, by 2025. And I think now state-of-the-art in France and Italy require compostable materials to be 50%, 60% next year. So we're on the road, but if it was easy, it would have been done already.
Right. Now, when you say it's only 50% compostable, when it does decompose, what is left then?
Okay. Well, it's 100% compostable.
Okay.
So if I said that, I misspoke. It's 50% plant-based chemicals.
I see.
Yeah. And 60% is kind of state-of-the-art in our material. Now, there are materials that are 100% plant-based, but in order to make the the type of products that we make. It's about 60%. We can make 80% in the lab, but really for commercial, it's about 60, which is good. That's something to reach for.
Right. And so I've seen some of the tests. You've had this tested by independent groups where the bags go into the compost pile. Some of these are industrial compost piles, folks. It's not just your backyard composter, but you've seen plastic if you have a compost pile yourself in your compost. It just happens.
Yes. And you have to really, I always say, look, it's hard sometimes to distinguish. And I've had people come up at fairs locally and they say, what's the difference between this one and this one? And unfortunately, it's hard to tell because sometimes a traditional plastic bag can look like a compostable bag unless you know what you're looking for. So you always have to look for the third-party certifications. Look for it to be in the United States, it's BPI certified for municipal composting, or it would be two home compostable certified. If it doesn't have a certification, just say, well, then I question whether it's real.
It's authenticity, yeah.
Right.
So let's talk about, you know, the fact that I went to Trader Joe's one day and they were trying to put my stuff into a plastic bag. And I said, no, I'm trying to stop plastic. He says, well, this one's compostable. He starts telling me the whole story and bragging about it. And then I find out Novamug is behind this bag that Trader Joe's is. How did that come about?
Well, it's a fun story because this will show you how you can do something on a small scale that could have major, I will say almost global, but at least Northeast and national impact. France, Italy has only allowed compostable bags, shopping bags, and produce bags for about 7 years. France for about 4 years. Spain is going to start in July of only lightweight, all have to be compostable, and it goes on and on. So about 4 years ago, I got a call from Brooklawn, Mass, from the town of, and they said, hey, we banned plastic bags, and we wanted to change to produce bags. Can you come talk to us? Because they had heard what happened in France. So they made a mandate that all produce bags have to be compostable, and they have to be home compostable because they don't all have an infrastructure. So I'm the only guy that was in this whole line from the beginning to the end, so I'll be quick, I promise. But basically, they made all the stores up there mandate that they had to be a compostable produce bag. Trader Joe's was one of them, and they said, okay, well, we can't just furnish one store with this material because they have to buy it from their bag maker. So they made the whole Northeast region be one. And of course, I work in the Northwest a lot in Seattle. And so when they got wind of it, they said, wait a minute, we want it. So you had two regions. And they were getting a very good green glow from it. And they said, look, it doesn't make sense for us to have two. So they basically rolled out coast to coast with compostable bags for produce bags. They're the only major chain to do it. And you want to applaud them because it costs more. And they say this is a decision we're going to make. The nice thing about it, like the ripple effect, is because the little guys in Brooklawn, Mass, 100,000 people, what they did basically changed a whole chain across the country from plastic produce bags to compostables. And like I said, we had the meeting at the G7, and my management said Novamont was hosting it in Italy for the rest of the world, so for the seven countries, I should say. So they said, well, what has happened in the U.S.? So I gave them this story. I wrote it up. So then I called my recycling manager up in Brooklyn. I said, you know, you're in the international record. You're here forever. It will be that Brooklyn, Mass was the one guy that caused like a carbon footprint reduction of maybe 1,000 tons because of your work.
Congratulations.
So you never know. Sorry for the long story.
No, that's not a long story. I love it. That's a good story. So when this bag goes into the Brooklyn, he's a composter, right?
Yeah. Well, this was the town administration. Yeah.
Okay.
The town administers it.
So he has a compost operation, which a lot of towns don't have.
They have food scrap pickup. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're finding bags and the stuff that's coming in. That's what's happening, right?
Yeah. The reason this works on many different levels, and that's why it's a circular, it's a tool that works in a circular fashion, because you want something that's not just a replacement for a plastic bag. You want something that works as a tool, and in this case can be used to collect food scraps because it's a breathable, it's used in a vented pail so it doesn't smell, it can be picked up, it doesn't leak, but then when it gets to the composter, it can be opened and composted with the food scraps and will be eaten by the microbes. Mm-hmm. Because it's or in your home compost bin, which is what I have because I don't have curbside pickup where I am.
And that's the key thing about it, these bags, is that they are broken down by the microbes in the soil. So that's why they were developed that way.
Yes, you have to be careful because compostable is different than degradable. And
how so?
Yeah, unfortunately, I get a lot of, there's been a lot of bad actors over the years. Now, compostable bags with no point around for 30 years, so it's not like this is a new wacky trendy thing. But over the years, a lot of polyethylene manufacturers have done their own versions, and they have what's called an oxodegradable or degradable bag, and they even call it biodegradable, which now nobody can use the word because they kind of B-word it, you know. But it just means that it will break down into little bits, and it will basically make microplastics go into the soil and wash into the sound, which is what happens. So for a compostable bag, by certification and by international definition and U.S. and North American, it has to be 100% consumed by microbes and turned into CO2, which means that it's digested and expelled as a CO2. And that's an international standard.
Okay. So what happens if it goes in the water?
Well, what happens if it goes in the water, it depends, because it won't melt, it doesn't break down, the sun doesn't hit it. It has to really be digested like an onion skin or a tomato skin.
I see.
So if it falls into a natural environment, now this is, I want to say this is very specific to our items and to our materials, because we have a hard time with people taking a broad brush for all bioplastics and all this and all that. Basically, if the microbes get to it, they'll eat it, just like food. And we just finished a 3-year study in the Mediterranean with the Hydra Foundation, which is Christopher Lott, who's a very distinguished marine biologist. And we found after a 3-year study, we used the produce bags they took from the store. And within 8 months, they were all eaten. They were all gone. So that's actually pretty huge. And
it is pretty good.
Yeah, you have to be really careful, because you never want to promote littering. You never want to say, you know.
You can just chuck it because it's going to break down.
Yeah, which is a dumb argument,
yeah.
But people will make it. So you have to be really careful.
Sure.
However, I think we just saw something on the about one of the deep sea probes that went to the bottom of the ocean and found a candy wrapper. And so if nothing's leaking into the environment, then how'd that get there? So, you know, it's getting here somehow.
No, unfortunately, I think humankind are basically pigs. And I think that, and I'm just being not kind here, because go ahead and look at anything on, you can see plastic all over the place on the internet. You can see people are against plastic pollution, and they'll show you all kinds of examples of that. But so that brings me to this whole thing, you know. Of course, the best thing would be not to use plastic bags, or any, maybe even biodegradable bags. And then they're compostable bags.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we have a huge population that's not getting it. They're lazy, I think, or they don't care. And it's convenience. I think the biggest thing for me is that it's convenient. Convenient to have a plastic bag, plastic garbage bags, plastic Ziploc bags. All those things are so convenient in food storage. But at the same time, a plastic bag's life is 12 minutes long and lasts for thousands of years.
Yes. And you know, if you work in the plastics industry, which I do, although a subset of plastics, I'm in the bioplastics division, but you see the scale, and plastics addiction is unbelievable. And I always say it's like living in the Matrix. You don't even know how much plastics is around. So you really need to make some changes that really have an impact, and not just give the illusion of change.
Mm-hmm.
And we all like to say, but I can tell you that when we do some certain banning this or banning that, you wonder why the plastics industry doesn't sue everyone. It's because they just move it around. And
right.
I get stones thrown at me about recycling sometimes, but I go to big conferences and I'm in the meetings with the, you know, plastic solutions and the big foundations and all. And a lot of it's like, well, we'll recycle more and we'll do this and we'll do that. And you're really just moving it under another shell. But the net effect is more plastic. So what we're trying to do is come up with new materials, because what you need to do is not turn the clock backwards in 1973. You need to say, move forward and say, okay, yes, it'd be nice if we had no bags and everybody could carry them, but how are you going to get your food scraps into a bin? You're carrying your hand. How are you going to get produce bags home? Is everybody going to have a cloth bag? I show up at the store still, and I forget a bag.
So do I.
So what's my options? And the option shouldn't be you have a 4-mil heavy-duty plastic bag that is basically, yes, it's reusable, but it's more plastic in the environment. So green technology would say, let's not go backwards, let's go forward. with new technologies that didn't exist and get stuff that doesn't have the impact on the planet. And
you could go for that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's our corporate, but that's my thing. So I'm not saying that would be. But I just see, like I said, that wrapper somehow got to the bottom of the ocean. What if it was onion skin? It wouldn't be there, you know?
Right. And I, from what my readings and boning up on what Novamont does, I see that you do a lot of testing to see what happens to it after the fact.
Yes, this is all stuff that's not new. It sounds radical here, but there have been studies done. A lot of it was soils, because you have to remember we talk about ocean plastics, but most of the plastic comes from the ground, from the land. So you really have to look at what happens in the soil before it even gets into the ocean. So we've done university studies. We've had 30 years. We have a full lab. We have independent studies. Like I said, our marine test, a 3-year study that came out in July in Rome, we announced it with the Hydra Foundation. It was huge because people say, well, what happens if? What happens if? So we're not saying you should put it in the soil. You're not, but as long as there's nice, happy, as long as you have a living soil, they'll be happy to eat our material.
That's good. I like that idea. So we're listening to the voice of Dan Martins. He's the vice president of Novamont North America. And as you can tell, he's into making compostable products for that will replace plastic products. So that's what we're discussing here on Digging in the Dirt. I was reading something about the UK. They seem to be a bit ahead of America. I was wondering if you could comment on the things that they wanted to clarify what is compostable plastic packaging. That's probably a big problem here in the United States, because some people, like even some of the ilk that I know, the rabid environmentalists, will say, even these are no good. We shouldn't be using these either.
Yeah.
And you can get tarred with the broad brush of what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, it's you know, I've done it for so long. So I kind of know there are these arguments, there are these myths that come out. A lot of them were started 15 years ago by the plastics industry to keep bioplastics down. And the part that's sad for me is that they've been repeated for so many years that now our environmentalists, which, you know, I'm fairly much a green martyr as well, they're repeating it as if it's fact. But really, it was there before. So the studies have been done. France also has a really good paper guideline. But there's studies. Everything has to be certified. But basically, the guidelines say what a compostable is and what it isn't. And also, you have to remember, can I just quickly do a definition real fast?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was thinking about going there.
Yeah, because I start talking and I realize sometimes people go, yeah, you say so much, I don't know what you're talking about. And
that's a good idea. Yeah. I have it down here. Let's go over what
it happens,
everything is.
Just for all the folks, it happens a lot. So I will go back. So, basically what bioplastic is basically can be a number of things. I mean, it really depends on the beginning of life and the end of life. But even let's back up to what is a plastic. Because I see articles now that are kind of, they're plus and minus, but they always end with this tagline now, which is real pop now to say, but remember, it's still a plastic. And what does that mean? I go, okay, I get it, I guess. What does that mean? So a plastic is anything that exhibits the property of thermoplasticity, which means that when you heat it up and you shape it, it will retain that shape when it cools. So by that definition, lava is also a plastic, is an example of thermoplasticity. Now, of course, through the Graduate movie and all those years of everything, it just became plastic as the name of it. But plastic is not a product. It's a property. So that's pretty nerdy, but I've been wanting to put it on a T-shirt, and I still might. So you have to remember when you say plastic, it's just a plastic. Okay, but what does that mean? So the next category is, what's a bioplastic? A bioplastic is a material that can qualify on a couple different categories. Could be the beginning of life, what it's made from, the end of life, how it's disposed of, and also some in-betweens. So beginning of life could be something that's made from plant-based materials. So that's a bioplastic.
So that's a question I had. Why are they still called plastics if they're bio?
Yep. Well, this could be a bioplastic that's made from, for example, there's a traditional plastic replacement called green polyethylene, and it's made from a sugar cane in Brazil by a company, and they basically take the carbons and they make polyethylene out of it. Now, it's not compostable, but it is recyclable. It mimics the petroleum-based, but it's made from sugar cane. So that's a bioplastic. They are materials that are 100% compostable, where they take the chemicals, could be petrochemicals, they break them down to simple carbons and they rebuild them, which are not a heavy poly chain. It's a simple chain of carbon, which microbes will also eat because it mimics food. So for that one, the end of life is that it's compostable and it can be eaten by microbes. Now, what we want to do with our company philosophy is have that end of life and beginning of life be the most sustainable as possible. So we want plant-based chemicals that also have certified compostable materials. So this is when you read a lot of the literature, or they try to pull all this together in like a two-paragraph thing, and they always end up throwing their hands up and go, see, it's so complex that all bioplastics is all a bunch of bunk, you know.
Right.
Or they say the greenwashing, which is the G word to us, which is really a very bad word.
Yeah.
Even we don't use it, and we can, but we don't. But it's just, it means basically you're a liar and stuff like that.
Greenwashing, yeah.
Yeah, it's not true. But you have to be careful.
Sure.
So you need to be knowledgeable, and you need to check your certifications. And unfortunately, there is a lot of bad actors, so you have to really double check and make sure that you do your homework. So that's what a bioplastic is. It can be based on beginning of life or end of life. So after that long explanation, now I forgot what you said.
We're
all
very clear about it.
Yes. So there's been guidelines in place. What was nice, just last week, the government of UK came up with their RAP and their recommendations, which is the waste management part of the government. And they recommended that bioplastics, compostables in particular, which is the subset, should be used for produce bags, or they endorse it for use of produce bags. They talk about labeling. They talked about recycling and best practices. So it was really nice from the government UK to endorse compostables as a true, sustainable option.
And when you say
option.
RAP, you're saying that's the title of the program.
Yes, it's I'd have to talk to my colleague from, that's the government agency.
Yeah, okay.
It's waste something something.
Right, yeah. I understand. Just so they know, it's not a plastic RAP.
Yes, sorry.
No, this is really hard to do. I mean, when I was reading it, I said, wow, this is a lot deeper than I thought it was, a lot more complex than I thought it was. So let's stick to some of the simpler stuff. The key applications that Britain is recommending that these new compostable materials be used in are food caddy liners, fruit and veggie stickers, tea bags, coffee pods, ready meal trays, and closed loop situations like at festivals or within buildings like coffee shops.
Yeah.
So that's what they're recommending. And you're in agreement that that's where we should start? I mean, this is a start.
Well, the common theme with that is it's for food. It's all food related or food scrap related stuff that can be composted. So you're not just looking at a replacement for a plastic item. So that's a common thread, because what you want to do is sequester that carbon, and you want to make compost, and you want to make biogas, and you want to make all this resource which the earth gives us in food that we basically treat like trash. So they're trying to enforce that in a way where these are just tools. But these are tools that actually facilitate that happening. So a coffee pod is perfect, because all that coffee could have been composted, but now when it's in a plastic shell, it can't be. And
right.
So unfortunately, it gets discarded, and there's a lot of...
Keurig is not a good idea.
And they have a lot of nice ideas on how it could work, but they're so impractical that people can't, who's going to take the lid off and dump the coffee out and then take that and wash it and recycle it. And they're also neighbors up the road, too, so be careful. They're trying.
it is what it is. Sorry about that. But, I go into a deli in New York for lunch, and it's horrifying when you get sort of hip to this, like you take that little blue pill like in the Matrix.
Yeah.
You wake up to how much plastic you are using at lunchtime. It's 6 or 7 pieces of plastic I'm going to use for 5 seconds. And it's gone, and it's still around thousands of years. It's
horrifying. And if you recycle it, and there's nothing wrong with recycling, it's good. We got a lot of infrastructure. But just if you just think it through, if you recycle it, it's still there.
Right.
And as we say sometimes, how many park benches can you need until one day the park bench has got to go somewhere too? And with all of our recycling, the plastics industry is still growing by 3% a year. And that's a national. So,
and what about your products? What are they growing by?
We're growing fairly well. but double digits, you know, but we're so small.
Right.
You know?
So give us an idea of the industry and your niche.
Now, this is what's so silly when I talk about these myths that were put together just to keep us down, you know, from going. So you'll hear top 10. We can do another show on the top 10 reasons why bioplastics suck. Excuse me. But, you know, but they're all put together years ago and repeated. One of them is that, you know, we're going to take over this. But in the whole plastics industry, all of bioplastics, not mine, like all of, and PLA is a big bioplastics, is 0.016%, less than 2%.
Wow.
Of all the plastics.
And they're worried about you.
But yet, if you were to talk to certain folks or even certain environmentalists, they would say, hey, you're just you're going to try to take over and be just as bad, but we're so small. So that's but I think we're important. And the nice thing about it is we're trying to not just replace plastic, but change the way plastics are used, change the way plastics are viewed, change the way they impact their environment with something that's not as harmful, not as durable, not forever.
Let's talk about the things that bug me the most, like the fruit and veggie stickers, Ziploc bags, and other bags that we use constantly that I think could easily be mandated. You know, I saw some of the others say we probably need an eco-fascist president to put some of this stuff into effect, because people just don't do it unless it's mandated that a lot of these products are made from.
And it's funny because the head of in San Francisco years ago, who we worked with, we helped fashion the law for the bag ban in California years ago, and I work closely with Seattle, I work with San Francisco and New York City and others, but the fella there, I remember him years ago saying, listen, the only way you make change is you have to mandate it. And of course, everyone's like, oh, you can't tell people what to do. Yeah, but in San Francisco, they did, and they mandated before everyone else did. Now, what's interesting, and I remember 5 years ago walking down the sidewalk with the two folks there who were the head, and he said, you know, if you could ever make a compostable produce bag, it's perfect, because then people can just pick it up, and when they get their veggies, they can bring it home and put the scraps back in and put it da 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 da. So about 6 years later, now in July, this is a big deal actually, their environmental committee voted 10-0 to mandate that all produce bags in the city of San Francisco must be compostable. And the reason that happened? Because our friends in Brookline, Mass, who started it with Trader Joe's.
That's right. So, and they're one of the
they can take credit.
They're one of the biggest composters in the nation,
yes.
San Francisco.
Yes, and Washington actually has some really good legislation, some really good labeling laws, which is very restrictive, but I endorse. I think they're great. And what they say for the produce bags, they say they can only be green or brown, which brown is for paper, and that here's the flip side. Because polyethylene bags cannot be green or brown. So if you're a composter and you're getting all these green bags coming in with food scraps in it, you can be sure that they are compostable by law.
Okay.
And because what will happen is other folks will have polyethylene bags and they make them, you know, earth-friendly, green, and then it's, you know, they can't tell the difference.
It's like all natural label on other products.
Yeah, well, I'll say something that might be a little silly, but I'm going to say it. But I'm up in Ontario working with their group for compostables, trying to change plastic compostable. So up in Ontario government, we had this big think tank. And so they're talking about the coffee pods. And in Canada, there's actually a compostable coffee pod, which is made, you know, 100% compostable. But of course, the composters say we can't tell the difference between the two, so we can't endorse it. And so they say, well, let's make the compostable one green or make this. And I said, no. Why are you punishing the good actors? Make the non-compostable plastic ones fluorescent pink.
Right.
Make them the ones that are easy to pull out, and make the compostable ones be the normal ones. And why punish the good actors? And I said, you know what would be really nice? Is for every pink one that they have to make a little donation to like the breast cancer awareness program.
There you go. Hey, I like the way you think.
And that way you're saying, hey, make them change, yeah. But they're so huge and we're so small, it's easy to say, make the little guy change.
Same
you know?
Thing goes with organic. You know, organic, they punish the organic people. We cost more for organic because they have all these rules for them, whereas everything used to be organic. Now all the chemically grown stuff is...
It's a change in thought process, which, thank goodness, because of my job, I have a lot of time to think about it, but most people don't. But really, if you want to change things, you have to be really careful about just giving the illusion of change and really making change. And a lot of times these things that happen, they give the illusion of change, and they're not really having an impact.
Right.
But
and I think people listening to this program can make change. Vote with your dollars. Insist that your store go for the same bags that Trader Joe's is using. Think, insist about things.
You can be a little town. You could be a town. You don't have to be 100,000 people. You can mandate your town to have compostable produce bags and say, this is what we accept. And it also doesn't mean that you can't also have a reusable bag. It doesn't mean that if you feel like I want to use my own meshed bag, it doesn't mean you can't.
Right.
But you're just saying we're getting off the plastic, you know, as the alternative in there is you have a compostable.
Sure.
And then if you want to really be good and you want to feel good, go to your town and start talking about putting in a food scrap collection program where these bags can be used where their best carbon footprint is collecting organics and composting.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, folks, you know, it's okay. It's good not to use the bags. I mean, Home Depot just put in brown paper bags. You can't get plastic bags. I mean, so it works. One step at a time. And this is one of those steps, you know, to get away from all the waste because most people, the convenience is there. They're not thinking. They're not even thinking. I mean, go to a grocery store and watch how many people are walking out with plastic bags, you know, and that could be changed by having compostable bags.
Well, if not that we're trying to control people or what, but if they would have the same level of non-thinking and non-caring, however, the material that they were carrying out was such a less dangerous thing, would it be better? You know,
sure.
So like I said, like if that wrapper was in the bottom of the ocean and it was a compostable wrapper, it might still be there by the way it got there.
Right, exactly.
Except it wouldn't be there 100 years from now. You know?
Sure, yeah. So let's talk quickly about a couple of things. Like you said that Canada now is thinking about mandating the little vegetable stickers, the avocado stickers and the banana stickers. They bug me.
Yes.
And, you know, when I'm composting stuff, I'm finding them all the time. No matter how many times I peel them off, I still find them.
Well, this came out of personally, me and one of my colleagues. For 10 years, we keep going to these big composting events, you know, BioCycle, USCC, all great. And there's always the guy says, and if anybody can find an answer to these fruit stickers, just anybody, oh, that would really make everyone's life. And I said, well, they have them in Europe, actually. So finally, we worked with our New England Composting up here. We did our own trial, and we got the stickers from Italy, and we put them on apples, and they went away. They went away. So I don't know if I'm going to – I don't know what the next step is.
Yeah, I'd like to know what I could do. I'd love to call somebody.
I would love to do a petition to say, hey, we want to get off the plastic stickers because even if you're a home composter, like they just
kind
of
end annoying.
Up. And
yeah.
But what I can say is I can tell you now you can't say it can't be done.
Okay. That's
so
good.
We
That's
printed
good
on them. We did the whole thing. So they can be done.
We're in the good news part of this segment. And I'm holding some good news in my hand. Dan brought in these straws here that are made from compostable materials. And, you know, everybody complains about, oh, the metal ones aren't clean. And, you know, I forget my metal ones. And, you know, it's good not to use straws because a straw is used again for a few seconds and thrown in. And then you'll find the straw, you know, when they're doing a dig later on and find out what happened to our civilization.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to find straws. And these are as good as any straw I've ever seen, the ones I'm holding in my hand. This is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And drink stirrers, too.
And what's interesting about those is some of those were made in France like about a year and a half ago, the little ones, and they're still pliable.
They're totally the same as the one you see in a bar.
Yeah, the ones that were are heavily PLA-based, they get brittle. Bioplastics, because they're like bread, when they dry out, they get crumbly and they get brittle. But these are made with our material, and they're not. And the one that's in the paper was just made in a trial up in Ontario a week from last Friday, and they were ecstatic about it. They said, oh, this is, yeah, that one. So we'd like to see if we can get something going. And
I pray that you do. This is amazing, actually. It's really a straw. I mean, there's no difference between this and a plastic one.
Yeah,
the
only
way
difference
it feels
is
and holds up.
It won't be around forever. Now, the part I always say when people start flipping out a little bit about single-use plastic, you still don't have to use it.
Right.
When people say, oh, well, you're just trying. No, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just saying if you want to get off the plastic, if you really get off it, you got to get off it. You can't just say we want to change things and not change anything.
Right.
So you can still have your right to use a straw or not use a straw. However, if you use one or if you use one and it leaks into the environment although no one litters, somehow it's getting there. shouldn't it be one that's not there for hundreds of years, you know?
Absolutely. So let's talk finally about the thing you sent me today. You sent me a picture all excited about the fact that Ziploc has a compostable Ziploc bag. And that makes me very happy and excited as well. So tell me the story behind this picture today.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was up at the, I presented an Italian composting plant outside of Venice at the Canadian Compost Council meeting in Niagara Falls last week. So I was up there. I had to leave early. There was a snowstorm coming. But in the afternoon, SC Johnson presented their new product, which they've had on the internet for a while, but it's a compostable Ziploc bag. It's called, their brand is Ziploc. Now, there's been others on the market as well. If you go to Whole Foods, there's been a biobag version there as well. But this is a major consumer products company making a commitment to a compostable bag, a zipper bag. And the reason it's come with it, I've gotten calls for years for high schools and elementary schools doing zero-waste lunches. And basically, they don't want any garbage. So it's got to be a compostable, or it's got to be a glass or a plastic Tupperware that you can take home and wash. The volumes are very small, but they made a commitment to having this SKU out there. And I think it's going to be at one of the big retailers. So yeah.
I think everybody that's listening and knows about this now, you should call Ziploc, call your supermarkets. I want compostable Ziplocs. I mean, I think it's the convenience thing. This is, it's a great concept. Whoever invented the Ziploc bag invented a great concept. It works. It keeps your sandwich fresh, keeps your onions fresh in the refrigerator, keeps whatever. And it's easy. And I think human beings like easy. That's why they like their phone. It's so easy to do anything with their phone. So I think it's time to change that. And, you know, the argument you talk about, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. And well, you have your right to do what you want. And all that, that's a straw dog. That's what they use. They use that idea that you have the right to do what you want. Smoke cigarettes, you know, do things that can harm yourself and your planet, because you have the right to do it. And that's a wrong concept that we have to get around.
Yes. And that gets also, I get into these debates all the time. And what happens is my products, like, I'll bring that up. And they'll go, well, what happens if there's no composter? Oh, what if it's not home compost? What if blah, 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 blah. So what's your alternative? Basically, with those arguments, are all predetermined for you to do nothing. And to change nothing, and not to, and keep plastics just the way they are, and support recycling, which was the answer to the plastics problem as proposed by the plastics industry. Isn't it nice that they come up with a solution that also facilitates more plastic? But at the same time, you can't have the illusion of change and not change anything. And when you get into these arguments like that, it's always like, well, in that case, we won't do anything, or we'll wait till the perfect thing comes that no one can debate and no one can argue. And that could be 10 or 20 years down the road. And so you really have to, now I'm going to harp on the produce bag for a second, because I'm going to say, if you want to talk about being a little radical, I think that we should mandate for the state. Produce bags have to be compostable only, or even for your town. Just do it. Because it's really one of the major produce bag, the number one produce bag manufacturer in the country also made that one. So they're in the stores now. You're just going to say, hey, make it a compostable.
And the cost will come down, too.
The cost will come down. But what happens is they'll say, well, who cares about that? That's a monolayer, single film, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. That's not impactful. We won't do this until, I'm going to say, Butterfinger bar. Because I love Butterfingers, is until that's compostable. And then that can be on TV in a commercial, and it can be, look, Butterfinger, da-da-da, but it has no impact. But we all feel good because now we're changing packaging. But multi-layer packaging is the hardest thing to do. And polyethylene, I mean, plastics industry worked for years to come up with all these different structures that will hold moisture, will stop grease, will will hold. And it's science, but it's been like 50 years in the making. And you're saying, well, we're going to change that and make it this. But a simple monolayer bag that also has all these neat carbon sink qualities and collecting produce bags, does not make microplastics, is marine degradable, all these things you won't do because it's not going to, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, sorry,
we could go on and on.
I mean, soapbox it if you want.
That's okay. Novamont also makes things that are like in cosmetics, too. I just opened my eyes to the fact that I didn't know cosmetics have so many, fluids and minor, you know, like flecks of plastic and stuff to make it feel good to your skin and everything. We can't get in there because we've run out of time. But and also my sister reminded me that the hardest thing to recycle in the world is the peanut butter jar because it's adulterated. And that's something we didn't talk about either. Is that recycling, if it's adulterated, they don't want the plastic because it's got peanut butter on it.
Well, that's why when you talked about that law for the UK and even in Italy, and it's because I said the common thread is food material and composting and end of life. It's all part of an end of life argument where compostables are work very well. And so that's why they pick those things, because it facilitates a circular carbon footprint discussion, which is positive.
Sure. And so let's finish up with, what's your sense of the future? How are we going here now? Is there, you're seeing a little bit of a wave going, or do you see a bit of change happening now with consumers and even governments, and how's the plastic industry dealing with this?
Well, I think the plastics industry is coming around, and we used to be, as a bioplastics group, kind of shunned as sort of like, you know, the wacky guys, the environmental guys that really were anti-petroleum, anti-this. But now I think plastics industry is starting to say, hey, you know, bioplastics might be the only good story we have. I think they're starting to look at it. Something I didn't say, but, you know, bioplastics are used, for example, if you buy a Toyota, chances are that the foam seat that you have is made from soybeans.
Okay.
And it's just because it's a better material. So bioplastics are out there. They're not all compostable. They're not all highlighted. But new technologies, I think we have a long way to go. Like I said, simple monolayer structures. I would just say support green technology and be open. I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric out there. I see articles. They come to me. I debunk them all the time. And I think a lot of them are funded by people who don't want change. So they make it so difficult that who could change, because you're afraid that you're being hoodwinked. But I think you can do it. Do a little research and think about what you want to accomplish. And if the material fits, I think it's good to get off. If we can use more plant-based chemistry just in many things, I think it's good just for a carbon
Sounds
reduction.
Good to me.
Yeah.
So vote with your dollars and don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
I love that.
Okay. Dan Martins, Vice President of Novamont North America, thank you very much for coming here.
Oh, thank you very much.
We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Digging in the dirt.
You've been listening to Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher.